questions don't always have to have answers. Let's talk about it on this edition of T-Life.
Hey, if you're into stuffing, turn off the radio now, because this is Key Life, designed to be honest, straightforward, and street smart. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, restful and fun, and wasn't too religious. And I hope your time at church was a great celebration, and your pastor sermon affected you the way my pastor sermon affected me, in a positive and life-changing way. If you have your Bible, you might want to open it. This week, I think, if the creek don't rise and everything works okay, we're going to finish this series. It's the microphone on pain and suffering. And then we'll get back next week to our Old Testament survey. Hey, listen, before we turn to some of these questions, let's go before the throne. Father, we come before you aware that you're God and that we're not, that you have answers and sometimes we don't, that you're infinite, that we are finite, that you're eternal and we tarry but just a little while, that it's your ocean and it's very big and our boat is very small. So we come to you without arrogance or pride, because this is the one place where there shouldn't be any. We come to you because you're our Father and you're our God, and you've called us to yourself, and you've made it possible with the gift of your Son who died on a cross in our place. So, Father, we're here not because we're good, but because you called us. Not because we've got things together, because we don't. We're here because we're yours. Father, meet us in this place. Meet us at the point of the needs as you define them. You know the times when our hand trembles, when our mind gropes for answers, when it hurts really, really bad, and we're so ashamed for what we've done. Father, meet us and heal us and change us and motivate us and forgive us. We praise you and we worship you, and we pray for this week of broadcast that you would forgive the one who teaches his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were listening last week, we started talking about questions, but not necessarily answers to questions, but the fact of questions itself in the face of pain and suffering. There's some people will say, don't ask questions, just deal with it. Grow up. You are in pain, that's because God is giving you the pain. Thank him for it and be spiritual. Well, that sounds good until you're the one. And if you're the one, it's really, really hard not to have questions. Speaking of questions, somebody sent me, are you computer savvy? I mean, you get this kind of stuff on email. I get it all the time. And this has gone to about 18 bazillion people when I look at this email. So you may already have it, but it's really kind of funny. It's some questions that were asked of little kids about marriage and stuff. And I'm not going to share it all with you. I wish I had time, but talking about questions. The question was, how do you decide who to marry? And Alan, age 10, said, you've got to find somebody who likes the same stuff you like. If you like sports, you should like it that you like sports, and she should keep the chips and dip coming. And Kristen, age 10, said, no person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all the way before, and you get to find out later, then you're stuck with it. What's the right age to get married? Camille, age 10, said, 23 is the best age because you know the person forever by then. Freddie, who's 6 years old, said, no age is good to get married at. You've got to be crazy to get married. And this is my favorite. This is the question was, how can a stranger tell if two people are married? This is Derek, age 8. You might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same kids. What do you think your mom and dad have in common? Lori, age 8, says, both don't want any more kids. The question was, what do most people do on a date? Martin, age 10, says, dates are for having fun. People should use them to get to know each other. Even boys have something to say if you'll listen long enough. That was Lynette. This is Martin. On the first date, they just tell each other lies. And that usually gets them interested enough to go on a second date. What would you do on a first date to keep it from going bad? Craig, age 9, says, I'd run home and play dead. The next day, I would call all the newspapers and make sure they wrote about me in all the dead columns. When is it okay to kiss someone? Pam, age 7, says, when they're rich. And Kurt, age 7, says, the law says you have to be 18, so I wouldn't want to mess with that. Howard says, the rule goes like this. If you kiss someone, then you should marry them and have kids with them. It's the right thing to do. Questions. And kids always have answers. That's the delight about them, but adults don't. But does that mean we shouldn't ask questions when it really hurts? I was flying from Chicago to Miami a number of years ago, and I sat next to one of the captains on the airline. He was flying to Miami, and then he was going to pick up a plane and go to South America. It was a great opportunity for me to settle some fears that I still do and have about airplanes. So I introduced myself to the pilot. His name was John. I told him he was an answer to prayer. He said, oh, really? And I said, yeah, I'm religious, and I've been praying about being so scared about being on these planes. I spent a lot of time on these airplanes, and I always have a lot of questions. And if you don't mind, since I believe you're an answer to prayer and that God sent you and stuff, I'd like to ask you some questions during this flight. John laughed and said, well, go ahead and ask. Well, every time I'd hear a noise, he'd be reading, I'd shake him and say, John, what was that? And he would explain the noise to me and go back to his reading. Again and again, I interrupted him with my questions. I must say, John was a patient and gracious individual. Once when the plane went through some really bad turbulence, I interrupted him and said, John, I got a question before I scream. He said, what's that? And I said, all right, I'm kind of scared. What's going on right now? And he explained the problem, but I didn't understand. He tried again, finally saying that I still didn't understand his explanation. He said to me, Steve, it's a little complicated. Since I probably can't explain it to you in a way you can understand, just trust me that it's okay. You know something? I did trust him. I felt better about the flight. You see, he had demonstrated his competence, and in the areas where I didn't understand, he couldn't explain, I was willing to trust his word. Now listen to me. A number of you guys have questions, and a number of your questions have been answered. We spend a lot of time answering questions on pain and suffering. There's some answers to a lot of that. So if some of your questions haven't been answered yet, take comfort in knowing that God has the answers to the rest of your questions. When you get to heaven, he'll answer them all. Then you will understand fully, even as you have been fully understood. That's 1 Corinthians 13:12. Michael Coist has a book, Prayers. He's a priest. And he wrote this, and I think it's still in print. He was a French priest, and he has these very honest prayers. And this was written before everybody wrote a book about colloquial prayers, you know, the very familiar prayers. And in Coist's book, let me read, it's the kind of prayer John the Baptist, we talked about, prayed just before he sent his disciples to Jesus. We talked about that last week. Lord, it's dark. Lord, are you here in my darkness? Your light has gone out, and so has its reflection on men and all the things around me. Everything seems so gray and somber as when a fog blots out the sun and enshrouds the earth. Everything's an effort, Lord. Everything's hard, and I'm heavy-footed and slow. Every morning I'm overwhelmed at the thought of another day. I long for an end. I yearn for the oblivion of just dying. I should like to leave, run away, flee, anywhere, escape. Escape what? You, Lord, others, myself, I don't know, but leave, just run. I go haltingly like a drunkard from force of habit unconsciously. I go through the same motions each day, but I know that they're meaningless. I walk, but I know that I'm getting nowhere. I speak, and my words seem dreadfully empty, for they reach out to only human ears and not the living souls who are far above. ideas themselves escape me, and I find it hard to think. I stammer, confused, blushing. I feel ridiculous and abashed, for people will notice me. Lord, am I losing my mind? Or is all this what you want? It wouldn't matter, except I'm alone. I'm alone, Lord. You have taken me far, Lord. Trusting, I followed you, and you walked at my side. And now in the middle of the desert at night, suddenly you've disappeared. I call, and you don't answer. I search, and I don't find you. I left everything, and now I'm alone. Your absence is my suffering. Lord, it's dark. Lord, are you here in my darkness? Where are you, Lord? Do you love me still, or have I wearied you? Answer, it's dark. It does get dark when your rope breaks, but in the dark you see the light better. Jesus said, I am the light. And when it gets dark enough, when the questions get so heavy that you just have to ask, when you're perplexed, be still. Like John, go to Jesus. John saw enough light to die with hope. When John got home, there wasn't any darkness. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of Key Life Takes family, I'd like for you to be a part of it. This is how it works. Once you give us a call to 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maple, Florida, 32794, or you write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address, and ask to be a part of Key Life Takes. We do it for you. Then every 7 or 8 weeks, you start getting a tape as long as funds permit, and you get it free, and they keep coming until you tell us to stop. And these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You have to subscribe to those. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible, at Reformed Seminary, the Cove, the Lake Barkley Fellowship, maybe a missions conference. We send it out to our families, and they're absolutely free. So let me know if you'd like to be a part of this family. I'll do it for you. And when I say they're free, I really mean that. But that doesn't mean that I'll turn down a contribution. If you can help us financially, man, you help so many others. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching, Forgiven and Forgotten. If you got a problem with guilt, this will help. You can charge it on MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.